Welcome. What if exhaustion you feel isn't burnout, but centuries of women in your bloodline finally asking you to stop carrying what was never yours? Today, I am sitting with my gorgeous, amazing friend, Antonia Bova, lineage healer and earth medicine mystic, who helps women stop auditioning for lives that were never written for them. So, Miss Antonia, would you please introduce yourself and tell us a little about where you are and what you do?
Of course. Thank you for having me. I love your little introduction.
Thank you.
Yes. I am Antonia. I live here in Scottsdale, Arizona at the moment. And I am an earth medicine mystic and lineage healer. So I help women heal ancestral trauma.
It's pretty awesome, man. I am super excited I get to sit with you. I'm excited to bring you onto my podcast. Last time we actually went onto her podcast. If you guys are interested in watching her podcast, it is She Who Remembers. It's on YouTube. It's on her Antonia Bova YouTube, as well as the House of Antonia. If you want to check it out, it is there. And it'll also be at the bottom of this episode as well. But my first power question for you is, when did you realize you weren't healing yourself, but your lineage?
It was in 2020. My parents went through a divorce and I was caught in the middle of it. And it was such a wild experience because I had seen my parents resort back into like almost their teenage selves. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so interesting because now they're asking me for advice and I almost feel like I'm put into the parent role. And that's really when I started to question everything about my life because everything came crumbling down and it was like start from scratch. So I really realized like this is all happening for such a bigger reason. And that's when I like came into the role of, wow, this is not just my parents are getting a divorce. This is conditioning that's been on both the maternal and paternal lineage for lifetimes that I'm here to break because my brother and sister didn't have the same experience that I did. So I'm like, here we go. It's time to get to work.
Are you, what part of the kids are you in the lineup?
The middle child.
It's kind of funny because like, are you a children of three? Like it's three of you?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that was something we related on. I am also a child of three, but I'm the oldest. So it's kind of funny that you and I ended up meeting, and I'm sure that your siblings would relate to my siblings, which would be kind of funny.
That would be funny. I feel like it's like the oldest daughter thing. It's like, okay, the oldest daughter, great. You're the cycle breaker. Good
Is
luck.
Is your brother older then?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Super cool.
Thank you.
So, Miss Antonia, what does the remembering actually mean in the body, not just spiritually?
It's a sensation. It's a feeling. It's really being able to get so still within yourself and realize what's coming up on the surface and then locating where that is in your body. So for me, it was like right in the center of my chest and I could feel, I always call it a creepy crawler. I could feel it like crawling up in my chest. You know, we have all of the chakras. So you'll notice a lot if you are not one to like to speak out, your throat will get really like choked up. If you aren't used to, you know, unconditional love, maybe it's a tightness in the chest. If you have any sort of like sexual wounding, it's going to be like more in your womb space and your sacral. So it really does resonate in different areas of the body. And that's where you know, okay, like this needs to come out of me. It's not just like, okay, I have awareness of this thing, great, it's good to go. It's no, now I need to release this. And this could be, you know, something from your own life, or it could be from lifetimes. And that's kind of as you go deeper and deeper into this work, you realize and see the pattern that's not just in your incarnation, but it's through your mother, your grandmother, so on and so forth.
That's so fascinating. I remember when I researched the medical medium, and also like if you do spiritual scanning or body scanning, this sounds a lot like that process. So that's pretty cool.
Totally. Yeah, I had done EMDR as one of my forms of therapy because talk therapy just wasn't enough at the time. And it was a lot of that where you're moving your eyes to follow this dot as you're being prompted as to like to go back to the experience, the traumatic experience. And that's when you start really feeling it in your body. And it's like, okay, keep going, go deeper, deeper, deeper. And it's like, after that like session, you just feel like you want to impulsively cry or like throw up because things are just coming out of you. You're like purging the traumatic experience, the story. So that's all it is, really, is just stories that you're reliving for as long as you choose to relive it.
As far as what you've witnessed in yourself and others, how would women know the pain that they're carrying isn't theirs, but it's ancestral?
That's a good question. Where to start with that? It's so different per like what every female is going through. But I think it's really looking at, and this could be it, like I said, maternal or paternal. So it's looking at any patterns of where you've seen suffering in your life, probably starting from childhood within your parents or grandparents, any pattern that you're like, this doesn't sit really well with me. Like, I don't think that I agree with this thing. Recognizing that and then realizing, okay, that's something that's been passed down. This isn't maybe just from, you know, my parents. This has been, you know, a belief, or whether it be religious or societal or whatever the norm was, that's coming from something that dates way back.
I found an interesting little quote based off of that that I feel like would fit this really well. And it's that ancestral trauma doesn't live in memory, it lives in behavior. And from everything that you said, that sounds pretty liable. I am very curious about how you have, if you wish to share, or even if just thoughts of what you've done as far as your ancestral healing that have been really meaningful or big takeaways for you.
Oh my gosh, how much time do you have?
Forever. No, I'm just kidding. Whatever you want that's like, that feels good.
I'll name some really big ones. Religion was massive for me. I grew up Roman Catholic because I'm 100% Italian. And I went to Catholic high school. I went to Sunday school. I got my baptism, my confirmation, a lot of the sacraments, and a lot of going through the religious beliefs and structures. Like, a lot of this just doesn't make sense. And it was, I think, one of the biggest things where I was like, there's no way, is when you go to church and you're receiving the communion, that it's actually quite literally Jesus's flesh and the wine is literally his blood. Like, people actually, you know, are believing that. I'm like, there's just no way. And that's when I started to realize a lot of this is just symbolism, but people are holding this to be like so true. And I think religion was really important and foundational for my upbringing, to teach you morals and values and how to be a good person and respect people, so on and so forth. But there's a lot within religion that went into how I was raised that wasn't something that it's not something that I agree with now. It's not something that I will like continue to live from. It's a lot of that living in guilt, living in shame. If you're sinning, you need to confess your sins. And it's like, we are human. We are made from love. We are love. The highest vibration is love. We're going to make mistakes, and it's okay. It's okay. And I love myself unconditionally. And I think the biggest thing that religion does is it takes away your own autonomy and your own power. And it's being able to give yourself that power back. To be like, no, God is within me and I can connect with my higher self and really create my own reality, versus I think, you know, religion is like, nope, nope, roadblock, glass ceiling. You must do this and this before you get to this. It's like, no, absolutely not. You know, and then same with the time structures, which were massive. Like, my parents started dating at 16, got married at 23, started having babies at 24. And that's just not going to be my experience of get married at this age, have kids, white picket fence, and be in the corporate job. It very much was like, I get that this is a norm, not only within my family, but within a lot of families, but I'm not going to settle. I'm going to work for the job that's going to make me so happy. Like, it doesn't matter how much I struggle or what I'm going through. Like, I'm going to do what feels really good in my body, despite what people say. So it was going against kind of that path that was set out for me and believing and knowing that I could have it all. I just have to put action behind it and really kind of just start walking that.
From doing that, from seeing religion from that new perspective, and then from also changing the timelines How do you think that has healed your ancestry or given it some healing?
The biggest way that I healed my ancestry was, it wasn't only through that. Like, that was definitely a big part of it because, I mean, my brother and sister, like, we're super close and they see me on this path and they, like, don't understand spirituality on this level. They're, like, you know, poking and prying, like, what does that mean? That's but they're curious, which is beautiful. So I think embodiment is a really big part of, like, hey, I'm not necessarily, like, trying to teach you or show you X, Y, or Z. I'm just living within embodiment and you're seeing my life unfold. And I think that's, like, showing not only my family, but other people, like, this is possible. But I'd say the biggest thing that I've done for the healing of my lineage was I actually went no contact with my mom. And so that really, like, caused a massive disruption and huge misunderstanding. But that was probably the biggest thing to be like, it ends with me. We're wiping the slate clean. This pattern is no longer continuing. And I think that was probably the biggest thing.
On that note, specifically to that, because it sounds like that was something that was a big moment for you and a kind of inspiration. What do you think it cost you as a woman or even other people who might have similar situations energetically and spiritually to live as a supporting role, maybe for family, parents, or siblings?
Like, what did it cost me by going no contact, basically? I mean, it was challenging. It was very challenging because nobody tells you how hard it is to lose a parent that's still alive. And I think a lot about her as well. As a parent losing a child that's still alive, like, you know, it's tough. And I love my mother. I love her very much. But there are boundaries that don't get put into place. And it's either like you respect boundaries or you don't respect boundaries. And her and I tried to dance that dance for a while. And she just so badly wanted us to reconnect and rekindle and go back to normal. And I couldn't go back to normal. I'm like, I can't go back to how things were because how things were was so damaged because of these things that I already outgrew. I already rewrote the limiting beliefs and you're still living in this old story. And so it was so hard for me to try to connect in a healthy way because it felt like she knows a version of me that's not me. And then any boundary that I'd put in place, she's like, oh, let's go on this retreat to Sedona and like work on things. I'm like, I'm not ready for that. Like, I'm trying to crawl, you're trying to fly. And so it just was never like, we weren't seeing eye to eye. Unfortunately, I was like, I have nothing left to do but to go no contact because like boundaries just aren't being reciprocated here. I went through a lot of like turmoil in the beginning stages of that. Like, okay, well now I don't have a mother. What about these like little questions that I have about, I don't know, boys or jobs or things of that nature. But I think I also gave too much of my power away at a young age where all I cared about was her opinion and what she wanted. And anything I did, it could have been the smallest thing, even down to the outfits I wore. I'd be like, what do you think? And if she's like, okay, good, then I'm like, good, you know? But I think the whole transition of me outgrowing that kind of made it okay. Like, I don't need to run to mommy for everything. I need to know that I have this within myself and that I have cosmic mama. I have Gaia. I have source. I have so much love and support around me. I'm being held. I have my chosen family, my best friends. Like that is my love. That is where sacred reciprocity is. That is where boundaries don't even need to be set because it's already just so healthy. And it's like they see me and know me and love me for exactly who I am without trying to change anything. And I think that's the biggest thing for people listening is if you see your phone ringing and you're getting anxiety, like, I don't want to answer that. Like, that's a telltale right there. Like, okay, well, let's dive a little bit deeper into why there's this anxious feeling or you're going home having to defend yourself or explain yourself. That's a problem. That's not healthy and that's not normal.
Do you think it's possible that some people are so loyal to suffering because it's the last way that they actually feel connected to their ancestors or their family?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, people don't love change. People don't want to let go. So people will stay in abusive relationships. I'm not even talking physically, emotionally abusive, because it's their way of feeling connected or loved. And it's like, I will settle for this because like they're gripping on to this thing for dear life because they feel like they don't have a safety net outside of that space, which is horrible, you know, because you can create that for yourself. Is it scary? Yeah, it's a little scary, you know, but you find trusted sources and mentors and people to help carry you through it. You don't go through it alone. You're not meant to go through it alone because it can feel very isolating at times. But so is being misunderstood in an abusive relationship. So it's like choose your heart.
I love seeing the different ways that you have untangled some of these, almost like they seem like they could be limitations or just these boxes that we have around us. And I also think it's cool that you're creating a brand that is focusing on emphasizing that structure, emphasizing that healing, and even through earth medicine, as well as like a form of like a feminine alchemy. When we talk about that, why does a body need earth medicine to heal what the mind can't? What would you say about that?
I mean, your mind isn't really healing anything. Your mind is your ego. Your mind is these like ruminating thoughts. Your mind is actually kind of like your enemy when it comes to healing. It is all body sensations. And we work with nature's cycles, especially as women. We're on the cycle of the moon, you know, 28 days, and we're ever changing, we're constantly changing. The seasons outside, you know, like nature takes its course. It goes through death and rebirth on its own. We are the same way. Naturally, we sync up with nature. That's how things are supposed to be. We're supposed to be on more of the Gregorian calendar, where the new year starts, you know, with spring and every month is 28 days. Like, we're supposed to wake up with the sun and fall asleep with the sunset. Like, we are designed to heal this way, naturally. We are animals at the end of the day. It's all primal. We need sunlight, we need water, we need community. And it's very simple when it comes down to it. But just going outside, barefoot, connecting with the ground, connecting with the trees, it's life-changing. And if you slow down enough and give yourself that space to just be in nature and surrender without distraction, without going trying to be on your phone, stressed out, you go with an offering of wanting to heal, of just being there in Gaia, present, she will heal you. She will heal you every single time. That's a promise. It's what she's meant to do. She is mama.
The body remembers before the mind is ready. That is for sure.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. The mind is like, okay, let me let go of my ego and not be so attached to this story or this situation and just let it happen. Let me make this conscious decision to let it go.
I love the idea that a part of the offering, maybe some people want to bring something to a location. Like whenever I go to the stupa, for example, I love to go there and see like what people have brought to the stupa as offering, as gift. But I love the idea that you said about offering yourself up for the healing, especially at sacred sites or with the land, with trees, with the earth. It sounds like that is something that you've witnessed, and I also personally have witnessed, is such a beautiful experience when you surrender to it and you allow yourself to feel those.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like wherever you're being called to or drawn to, that's the medicine that you're needing at that time for whatever reason you're needing it. You know, and if say like, okay, when I first moved out here, I was being so massively called to Egypt. I'm like, I can't just hop on a plane and go to Egypt right now.
Bye. We can. In our heads. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, we can. We can. But it's like, okay, realistically, at this very moment, I can't just hop on a plane and go to Egypt. Yeah, I totally could if I wanted to. But let me see how I can still connect with what's calling to me in a way that feels really resonant. So let me dive deeper into some of the ancient knowledge, you know, of the Egyptians and kind of what they practice and what's really trying to come through my channel right now to heal me. Let me go to Sedona. So grid lines run through Sedona, and let me just go there and kind of like receive what's there for me and just go wherever, you know, the wind takes me. That's the biggest thing sometimes I think people feel really weird. And they're like, well, I don't really know why I'm being called to this place or to do this thing. Like, it's not like me. Okay, well, that's the whole point. Like, spirit is trying to push you in a direction to give you the healing that you need, to put you on the path that you need to go on and like to meet the people that you're supposed to meet. Everything's on purpose. It's serendipity. There are no accidents.
That's awesome. I was thinking about a little bit more on the power questions, because it feels like there's some insight, especially with lineage healing. But in your opinion, what's the biggest myth about breaking the cycle that actually keeps people stuck?
Myth about breaking the cycle? I think people feel very indebted to their parents. That's the biggest thing that I've seen is, well, they brought you into this world and you owe them now. And that could not be farther from the truth. You came through your mother, which is just a portal. You came through her, not necessarily from her. And it's so important to recognize that your parents chose to have you from a space of love. And now you are a human living your own life. Doesn't mean that you're living for somebody else. You are living for you, and you're living for your purpose here on earth, whatever soul contract you signed. And you owe it to yourself and to your lineage and to your family to do that. If you come here and you're like, well, I need to do this for my parents and stay in my hometown and take care of them and, you know, do this at the other, it's like you're only like wasting your incarnation here and like wasting your life. And the biggest myth too that coincides with that is that doesn't mean that you don't love your parents and that you don't check in on them and do sweet things for them and show them love in different ways. It's you're doing it from your space of authenticity of like what feels good and doing it versus out of doing it from obligation.
Yeah. And I also think, adding to what you just said, basically, if you choose that you want to do that, you want to hold space for your parents or your lineage, your ancestors or other people's parents, it's from a place of you honoring yourself too. That way, if you choose to do that and you choose to hold space for any person, you're doing it from a place of that authenticity, integrity, and that accountability that you're still going to give back to yourself while honoring and hosting space for another person.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people believe that boundaries are hate and boundaries are like this roadblock, but boundaries are actually the healthiest form of love, because it means I want this relationship to work out. I genuinely love and care about this person so much, and I'm going to put up boundaries because I want to show up at 100% for you. And that's just like, that's it. It's not, oh, you're being punished, or oh, I'm doing this because whatever. It's no, let's really try to make this work here. And so often you do need to be a broken record when setting boundaries in the beginning, because it's not who you were. Yeah, like, you know, I never grew up with boundaries. When I first started therapy, my therapist was like, you need to set boundaries. I was like, what's that?
What is that? I don't know. I do now, but oh.
I can say what I want. That's crazy.
That is crazy. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's good. It's good.
It was like, it was so wild. Like, I do. I love my parents. I'm so grateful for my childhood. I had a wonderful childhood. But looking back at some of the things, like the pressure that was put on me from being a young child. Like, for me, my brother and my sister, it was New Year's. Whoever called first got like rewarded. If I was the third child to call, I'd be like, you're the last one to call me on New Year's. I'm like, oh my gosh. What? You know, it's always like, it's that you're not good enough. There needs to be more and more and more. Get perfect grades, look a certain way, your figure, the way that you dress. You know, it's all of these very unrealistic standards that, I mean, both my sister and I are like perfectionists to a fault today from that. So it's like really unraveling that, like, okay, I don't need to be like trying to achieve this very unrealistic thing that's not normal.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's crazy though. I mean, like, it's just like, I feel like a lot of people can relate to this, because we have that form of somehow creating that as a system in our society or in our households, or I don't know, maybe it's just America, who knows? But I feel like people can feel this across the board, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think that as women, it's so important to like really be the leader in this space. Like, no, I am now the womb holder. Like, we are the ones who are bringing life into this world, and we need to really face these things head on so that we don't continue to pass on the karma or the generational trauma or whatever this pattern or cycle is. Like, it has to stop with us. Like, we can't keep doing this.
What happens when you shift that? What happens when you shift and choose yourself without burning that lineage down?
I mean, Yeah, you're not burning it down necessarily, but you are like, you're like, here's what I stand for, here's what I don't stand for. If you respect it, amazing. We can have you in my life and in this capacity. If not, again, it's going to have to be like a no contact. Again, this is not black or white. There is gray area. But I think a lot of people, you know, deal with a lot of backlash from their family when they start to make waves in this space. And it's like, well, my family blames me for this and they don't understand me for this. And then they make this their story. And it's like, now you're living in a victim mentality. That's also not a healthy place to be in. Oh, I'm blamed. I'm blah, blah. Like, no, you can't go and start doing this work and then be like, oh, woe is me. It's like, you need to stand tall, know what you're here to do. And then, yeah, basically when you have your family, it's like, I'm living for my family. My husband and I, or my partner and I, like, we are creating this safe space together. And we're healing one another to create this beautiful dynamic for whatever life we bring into the world. Whether you're adopting or having your own children or just impacting kids' lives in general. If you even don't want to have kids and you still want to like work with kids in a specific way.
I love this so much. It's like when you come from this regulated system and you're sovereign and you're actually allowing yourself to be an example in your lineage or be an example in your societal structure or friendships or whatever, you get to show up authentically and 100% instead of being someone who is healed but still performing. It seems like more and more every day there are so many people that we witness, our colleagues, people in the spiritual communities, that yes, they're healed in a way, but they're still performing. They're still trying to move things and shift things without doing that regulation within the bodies, regulation and being an honoring and sovereign person that they could be, that is the biggest form of themselves. It's just there. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. And the biggest thing I would say to that is when you're in a dynamic, are you jumping outside of your body trying to, you know, appease that person or be in that conversation or be in that, you know, in that dynamic? Or are you completely within your body? Are you relaxed? Are you just flowing? And not judging yourself. You know, when we come from this space of performing, you can do the healing, but then it's like, am I clenching? Am I trying to like look a certain way? Am I thinking about what the other person's thinking of me? And because then you're really like, the ego is the performing aspect. So it's like, why am I so attached to this outcome that like isn't me, versus let me just relax and just be. Yeah, not caring so much about what other people think. And I feel like that kind of fades too as we get older. I feel like when we're younger in our like 20s, going into our 30s, we're like, oh my God, well, what are they going to think about this? If they think, and all that person's judging me, or they're, you know, fucking shit about me. And it's like, okay. And how solid are you within yourself? And a lot of this work does come from confidence, because you have to be so sure of yourself and so in integrity and like so devoted to your mission and what you're here to do, that nothing can shake you. It has to be this self-trust and also like belief in something that's bigger than you, that's guiding you. Because without that, you're going to be real unstable. And then you're going to be like running to this person, that person. What do you think? What should you hear? Blah, blah, blah. Healing from, you know, 10 different practitioners. That's like that scarcity energy. Scattered.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I love this though. You just have so much to offer with all of that. If you were to say who the specific person is, or the woman, or whoever your work is really for right now, who would that look like?
It is the women who have been running around trying to get the healing. They've gone to therapy. They've done the yoga teacher training. They've done, you know, all these different modalities. And they're like, I still am stuck in this pattern. I still am experiencing the same thing. I still am attracting that, you know, emotionally abusive partner. I still have friends that are abandoning me. And then they come to me and it's like, hey, I have a 4-week program. You have to come ready to do the work. This is no BS. And then we go through and we erase these stories. We break these patterns. And then you get clarity on what your path looks like from you. not from what was already written for you. It's like, okay, now I know what's no longer mine to carry. I know what my future looks like, and whatever you need to set in place. A lot of people don't know how to set boundaries. So maybe it's that. A lot of people are going through divorce. Okay, let's get through that. Let's build the confidence back, you know? So it just depends on the person. And that's kind of the prescription that Gaia and I will work on for each female. Yeah.
What happens on your discovery call that doesn't happen in books or programs?
It just depends kind of like what the person is wanting to work on. So we just talk about, okay, like, you know, what are some of the biggest challenges you're facing? What are the expectations that you're wanting from this container? And then sometimes I could end up channeling on that call, pulling a few cards to see, you know, what automatically is really coming up. And then that kind of sets the tone for the container, because I don't want to like waste time. You know, I have 2 30-minute calls a week. It's like 2 sessions per week for 4 weeks. It's like, okay, we're diving right in. Here's the first thing you need to do. Here's the homework. Let's work on it. End of the week. How did you do? Great. Okay, what's next? It's like, we're going to make sure by the end of that 4 weeks that you are good. You have your own wisdom to go to, your own inner knowing. You don't need to run to anybody outside of yourself. You realize all the answers are within, and you start trusting that voice and that intuition within you, which a lot of people also don't know how to do.
If there is a woman that is listening and feels this in her womb, what is her next right step with you?
If you put in the show notes, like all of my website and everything, my website or my stand store, you just book a discovery call with me. Yeah. And then that's it. On the discovery call, if you feel, you know, okay, like I'm ready to dive in, that's it. Start whenever you're ready. And we break these patterns together.
Beautiful. So this one's kind of a little fun segment. I just wanted to do this as like a don't overthink. I'm going to ask you quickly, and I just want you to say the first thing that comes to your brain. So get yourself a little ready for it, and then let me know when you're ready.
Okay, I'm scared.
You got this, girl. It's okay.
Okay, go.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Ancestral pattern you see most in modern women.
Love, like problems with relationships in love in that way. Partnership.
Good. Perfect. One sign it's time to stop healing and start living.
Ooh, hermit mode. When you've been in hermit mode for too long, okay, you got to get back out into the world. I know you don't want to, but it's time.
Beautiful. Earth medicine you believe every woman should reconnect with.
Go hug a tree. Go hug a tree. Barefoot. Oh, yeah. Feel the temperature of that tree on your body. They're so special. They really are. I know it might look crazy to people, but we need to hug more trees.
Here.
You owe it to yourself to do this work. This is why you're here. You have this gift. You have this opportunity to show up for yourself.
Awesome. Were there any last thoughts that you had, or anything that was like your takeaway, or that you want to share more about your practice?
This has been really nice. I think the biggest thing I want to say is not to take life so seriously all the time. We are here right now at such a beautiful, pivotal time. Like, connect with your community. Connect with your people. Know what's around you. And stop trying to jump outside of yourself, especially like with the phone and social media and these standards. Like, it's time for all of us to come within, to be authentic, to be a little bit messy, and just be so vulnerable. I think a lot of people have these big shields of like, oh my gosh, I need to protect myself and this, that, the other. But it's like, let yourself make mistakes and do the things, because we learn from making the mistakes and from having the hard conversations and from saying how we feel. And if it's not received well, okay, you showed up at 100, you did it, you know, and it just wasn't meant to be. It wasn't reciprocated. That's fine. But don't beat yourself up and be so hard on yourself, because this is what we're here for. And you are held and supported and loved by your people. So start really reshaping your consciousness to believe that and to know that you have that, versus focusing on all of the unrealistic things and the negative things and the wounding. It's like, sometimes we just need to like take that off. Let the masks come off and just be you.
That was part of the reason why I really wanted you on here, and so I could share you with everybody in the podcast, and just as even a thought for future people while they're listening to this episode. I have personally struggled with feeling like I have to own something, or that I have to show up a certain way, or that I have to show myself off a certain way. And I found my emotions get intertangled with this desire to offer not only my pure unconditional love and my practice and what I have to say and why I'm showing up, but to honor my family and my friends that I put so much love and attention into. And I feel like I have struggled in the past couple of years, always wanting to please people and please my family and please my listeners and please people around me. But when I met you, it was like you gave me my voice back, and you gave me this perspective that I can do me and not have to worry so much about what everybody in the world is thinking, and give people me authentically. And that's why I even created the podcast in the first place, was so that I could hear the stories of those that I admire around me, and then showcase that everybody has these talents and everybody has these magic pieces that they're trying to offer to the world. And one of those people is yourself. And I just want to honor you with that so much.
Thank you. I honor you as well. Your wisdom is just out of this world. And the way that we connect, it's that nonverbal level, it's that feeling, and it's so special. And when we finally did connect at Missy's, I'm like, yeah, this is meant to be.
Yeah. Like, this one. And it's like, I can feel a whole like deep where it's like, this bitch is mine.
My Gemini sister, she sees me.
It's just so cool too that we both happen to be very different like points. If you're into astrology, we have different placements, but having the Gemini sun together is so magical.
It's like this dark feminine alchemy, like, ooh, very witchy.
Very witchy.
In a good way.
In a very good way. I definitely agree. Well, you guys, if this episode stirred something ancient in you, that's not coincidence. That's remembrance. Miss Antonia Bova of House of Antonia, thank you so much for reminding women that they were never meant to disappear inside someone else's story. You've just sipped from the cup of the magical and the supernatural. But remember, what you heard is just the beginning. Until next time, this is Kiara reminding you to keep questioning, keep seeking, and always ignite your inner flame. I'm going to leave all of Antonia's information in the episode. You guys could check her out, go listen to her podcast, and check out her YouTube, her Instagram, all the works. And if you guys want to book a session with her, that will be down there below as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Woohoo.
Much love.